top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die, only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
No one will come within 500 yards of this place. Kids were killed here, or at least that's the story we're all.
Lucky's here, Frank. I know it. And something awful's happened to him.
If he's here, we'll find him.
We should leave, Frank. We should get out of here tonight. This place is evil. I can feel it. Operator, this is an emergency. I can't speak any louder. This is an emergency.
Hey, mister, help! Hey, mister, somebody's been hurt over there.
Oh. Crazy. Why don't we get out of here, Frank?
There's no more to be said about it, Mrs. Anne.
Dina, you must learn to train your eyes like a cat.
Or was it the dream?
Well, you tell me. Did you find anything in the tunnel today?
That's a good one.
This carnival was constructed over a series of natural limestone caverns. That is how Bean has kept his family undetected for so many years. And they're cannibals, every one.
Clean this filth away.
Most of them had never seen the light of day. That's why they look so ghastly. Live like animals.
Mr. Malatesta, we have to check these things out.
Barry, Barry, not yet dead. Stupid Johnny, use your head. Put your feet where evil stand. The knife cuts quick. The blood pours red.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 374 of the Really Awful Movies Podcast. Malatesta's Carnival of Blood. Malatesta in Italian means like an evildoer, a treacherous person. So a funny title right off the bat, if one that doesn't make the title particularly memorable. What is memorable, however, is this very film itself. A unique creation in the brainchild of Christopher Spieth and Werner Leibold, neither of whom would work again in any capacity as either a director or a screenwriter, which is kind of interesting. So this is kind of a one-and-done, singular achievement, and singular it really is. The poster touts this thing as a diabolical roller coaster ride, and that's not being metaphorical, as you probably have guessed from the title being a carnival. And it's one of these things, like when you see blood in the title, like a blood feast or a theater of blood or carnival in the title, it's just something so enticing, and it's something that's so immediately alluring. I mean, who doesn't love a good carnival? Every year in Toronto, we have the CNE, the Canadian National Exhibition, which has its roots in the geek circuit and the freak show circuit back in the 1920s, I believe, when that's what passed for entertainment. So we had things like, oh, come see the bearded lady, hear ye, step right up, step right out, folks, and see incredible feats of daring do and all this, these kinds of things. But also, like, come and see the man-eating chicken, which once you lift the curtain turns out to be, well, a man-eating chicken. Funny that. So again, this movie is a weird one that I stumbled upon on Amazon Prime, and it really is a fever dream and a completely, I mean, it's overwhelmingly a real head scratcher. And it's been likened, I think, by several people as being a sort of an analog to Manos, The Hands of Fate. But I think that's very, very unkind, because while Manos is absolutely hilarious in its own right as a regional horror that features, I mean, the iconic robe that with the hands on it that most people know the film by, but also in Jeff and I's estimation, just lots of meandering, driving around. It's almost like Nightmare in a Damaged Brain or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie, where it's just, oh my God, you could be just waylaid by the amount of just sheer rubber meeting the road. Like, my God, it's just way too much. Well, Malatesta's Carnival of Blood is a 1973 horror film, and the 70s were such an interesting, fertile time for horror. You had all these things just popping out of the woodwork, whether it was a straight-ahead slasher like A Drive-In Massacre, or whether it was something altogether more sinister and diabolical, like the nascent, I guess, folk horror of the time. But also, of course, the Hammer horror scene and the likes of Toby Hooper's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It seemed like then, much like now, there's just a wealth of different types of movies. Though I think when it comes to how things are happening right about now, we've probably skewed too far away from more conventional slashers. So I think the pendulum has moved too far to the side of the supernatural. But I mean, that's still, if you dig enough, you can find slashers. They're just harder to find now than they were during their obvious heyday, and hence the term golden age of the slasher. Well, in Malatesta's Carnival of Blood, you have this Mr. Norris and his wife and daughter that arrive at this very, very strange carnival, and you get this just the sense of how odd and bizarre, and I'm always one to check out these YouTube rabbit holes of people investigating abandoned places. And I remember there was the Danvers, Massachusetts State Mental Hospital, which was the setting for Session 9. And I remember watching some clips of people wandering around there. Well, similarly, I mean, you have a carnival that seems like it's gone to seed. This place, it looks almost as if, and I don't know whether this is a function of the permits that they got or didn't get, Christopher Spieth, to film this one, or whether it was a function of the fact that they actually filmed at a site that was essentially abandoned. It's really hard to tell. There's another amusement park down the way here, and actually not far from the aforementioned national exhibition, that's called Ontario Place. And that was constructed as this sort of sprawling architectural mass that would go out over Lake Ontario, and it was highly geared to children and had all these rides. But it's since been slated for redevelopment, and a lot of RFPs have gone out to see what can be done with it. Now, in the interim, part of it has turned into a green space, but a lot of it has just been left to rot. So you have this weird scene of all this dilapidated, decaying, rusted, crappy, amusement park rides. You see this very prominently in, I guess, outside of, I forget the city's name, but outside of the where the Chernobyl explosion happened, you see a Ferris wheel that's rusted out, and a lot of these amusement park rides that are just gone to seed. And that's sort of the vibe that the carnival, the eponymous carnival, has in Malatesta's Carnival of Blood. The manager of this dilapidated, pathetic facility goes by the name of Mr. Blood. And, you know, that's not foreshadowing anything at all, is it? And Mr. Blood is an interesting character who bears a slight resemblance to Kelsey Grammer from Frasier. But he makes these claims about having an unusual metabolism. And he, I guess, encounters this Norris family who are attempting to locate their missing son, who goes by the name of Johnny. And Johnny, this is a cautionary tale for all you folks out there listening. Do not run away to join the circus, no matter how enticing that may seem. Johnny wanted to go out and meet Carney folk and work the circuit, and the parents warned against such a maneuver. And meanwhile, Johnny has gone missing, and then Vina is wandering around the facility as well, bumping into a young man by the name of Kit, who operates the Tunnel of Love ride, which is wonderful as well. You gotta love that. It's one of those old-timey rides. I've actually never had a chance to go on one, despite my frequenting a number of these types of theme parks, but it has its origins like hundreds of years ago, and you generally float around through these dark tunnels. It's essentially, I think, an excuse. I think it predated the drive-in as a way you could sort of get closer to significant other, if you catch my drift. But I should say as well that Malatesta's Carnival of Blood is, if I'm not conveying the extent to how just surreal and fever dreamish this film is, the opener has a soothsayer who's card reading and doing one of these prognostications, but the table that she's reading the cards at is swerving around and around, and it has this rather unnerving feel to, and it's very jarring to the viewer to watch this. So you see Vina getting her fortune read, and meanwhile, everything's turning and circling. It's almost like one of these teacup rides at the amusement park. It's a very off-putting scene, and Sonia is a transvestite fortune teller who has this very distinct mien about her, about him, and it's just one of the weird and enticing visual aesthetics that this film has. A little bit of backstory. I mean, this one was brought to prominence as part of a larger set by Arrow. I forget the title of it, but it was 3 or 4 years ago, I want to say, or it might have been longer, where this was packaged with several other films. I don't even know what they would have been, but nothing could be this comparably weird. But it was packaged and then took on a life of its own. This, after having been nearly gone, I think, and not only under the radar, but almost off the grid entirely. It had disappeared since it had modest distribution sometime in the drive-in era. And I think Christopher Spieth, the director, had some sort of copy that they were able to transfer over to DVD. I'm not sure if there's a Blu-ray. If there is, I would love to grab my hands on this thing. And there's a scene where there's one of the characters sneaks into the amusement park and manages to go on a ride after dark, completely shrouded in darkness, and then gets decapitated. It's cheesy, yes, but there's definitely some heavy gothic elements in this thing. It has a lot more in common with the gothic horrors, whether it's your vampire Klaus Kinski type things or whether it's your Hammer style horrors, than you would ever imagine. This is such a surreal, weird film with so much going on. One of the characters bears an uncanny resemblance to Ringo Starr, and this is just one of the many ways that this film will put you in a different place, in a different sphere, in a different mindset altogether. It's wonderfully weird and very bizarre. In many respects, it reminds me of The Sinful Dwarf in some ways, where it's sort of that film flirted between being pornography and horror, whereas this one almost has an Andy Warholian aesthetic. Like, there's weirdness for the sake of weirdness, you could read it as, but also not. I mean, one of the characters as well, I mean, speaking of dwarfs, and there's a segue for you, but there's a Bobo, a dwarf who has this phantasmagorical appearance to one of the character Vina, and she meets him at one of these shooting gallery things, and he threatens her with a shotgun, and then he disappears, and rendering Vina to be a sort of an unreliable narrator. And astute viewers will recognize this character Bobo as Hervé Villechaize. I mean, hey boss, the plane, you know, from Fantasy Island. He's like iconic, especially his role in the James Bond film, The Man with the Golden Gun, from the mid-70s. So it's a French actor who's almost like impossible to understand. But you'll know him when you see him, and he just is just one of the weird things. I mean, it almost seems par for the course that a carnival obviously would have have a dwarf in it, but it just adds a little bit of sort of weird verisimilitude realism, because of the fact that he was so ubiquitous in on television with the strong popularity of Fantasy Island, which incidentally was reimagined by Blumhouse of all things as a horror film. And it was a pretty bad movie, but I actually took to it in some respects just by the sheer chutzpah of actually putting out something so ridiculous. And you can check out that podcast earlier. Now, what you have as well are these denizens of the carnival in the amusement park. It's employees, and you often like cast aspersions on carnival employees for being carnies, and it's something that Rob Zombie has played up in numerous films, and other films like Haunt play upon the Halloween-themed horror experience in that. But the employees, they are seemingly entranced by one of these, I guess, proto-horror films from the 1920s, almost like a White Zombie or something of that ilk. And their leader is Malatesta, and they are cannibals, and it's some sort of weird subterranean cult, and whose genesis is, well, to say it's not very well explained is an understatement, that under so low that not even Hervé Villechaize could pass under it. But it's like I admit being somewhat flummoxed by the narrative structure or lack thereof in this film. But it's just, there's chases through the funhouse mirrors, there are strange scenes of the Vina character being encased and enshrouded in plastic and sent around. There's just so many strange, odd scenes that are almost out of M.C. Escher in a way. You have circular staircases, you have this circulating card reader, and just lots of jarring visuals, Dutch angles, surreal fantasyscapes that really put this in a unique position as such a startling visual feast in so many ways. So yeah, you dismiss it at your own peril. This is a film that is really gorgeous to look at in many respects, and the fact that the director was hamstrung by obviously a lack of a budget and certain scenes that he couldn't replicate or do more than several times. Stanley Kubrick, he ain't, right? So you have certain, you have some certain audio issues with it. You have a narrative that's very, very disjointed and very, very weird. But ultimately, all you need to know is that there are people missing in this carnival, and that this evil Malatesta is this Svengali ruling over this strange amusement park, and you just have to go along for the ride, no pun intended. And you could see as well, like you have all these carnival rides, whether it's a merry-go-round or this Hall of Mirrors, all this is rendered to such incredible effect. And again, it's rather jarring to see that the setting is one that could have been abandoned, but also it could have just been, shut down for the season. So I'm not sure how Spieth was able to get access to this, because again, not much about this film is known. Now, we'd segue into what we learned here. I could check that. And that Arrow did release a Blu-ray of this and DVD 3 years ago. And I highly recommend you check it out, because it's really, it is very mind-boggling. And then Christopher Spieth really sees his vision out, and he was apparently very meticulous about the proceedings as well. And it shows in some respects in the finished product, and other times where he just couldn't get away with it. I mean, pure guerrilla filmmaking. A complete hodgepodge and mishmash and bouillabaisse of gothic horror, of regional horror, of vampire films, of early horror, of proto horror, of Euro horror, of Italian horror. It's all over the geography, and it's just such a mind-bending experience. That's one of the things I learned. I mean, you can't really go wrong with this. And again, people who liken it to Manos, the Hands of Fate, that thing was stilted and very plodding and very dull on occasion. That's one thing. Malatesta's Carnival of Blood resolutely ain't, because it's a feast for the senses. It's something that you won't forget. It's something that more people should check out, and I will be willing to champion it and shout from the rooftops about how fun and interesting and quirky and just very, very off the beaten path this one is. So anyway, enjoy that. Continue to enjoy the podcast. Uploaded for your listening pleasure every Friday, of course. Don't forget to check out our books and write in some suggestions if you think there's a movie that we really should cover, whether it's obscure regional horrors like this one or whether it's a more mainstream fare. Either way, we're going to cover it, especially if it's an horror, particularly if it's an action as well. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.